This may be a short Bible study.
Romans 5? Mm-hmm. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The access is the critical issue. When Christ said he came to set the captives free, he wasn't talking about a prison ministry. He was talking about the captive life that is within you that's being held prisoner by this evil one, this Antichrist, this instead of Christ, that's you. And so, but we always have access to the grace and to the peace instead of the self-seeking and the turmoil. It never, the access, the door is always there. He's always knocking, and he's knocking every time that something doesn't go the way you think it should. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the knocking is the Holy Spirit motivating the knock to go in and have access. And so at every time you have, there's literally two doors. There's one, the door of judgment and blame and victimhood. And the other door is the access of grace and peace. And the question is, which door do you go into? Because the one door sounds attractive to the flesh, because you can blame somebody. You can get mad at someone. You can play the if-only games and what-if games. And that's the door that feeds this beast. But the other door is always there. It's like when you hear the knock, you think this knock is going to go in and give you a feeling of momentary self-righteousness, or as we like to say, huffiness. But we've all seen the fruit of huffiness. You get picked on every morning in Bible study. You get a trophy named after you. But the fruit of that's in the other door is the access always to the grace and peace that's always there. This was typified even in the first murder, before the first murder. It was when God asked Cain why his countenance was fallen. And she said, behold, the sin offering lieth at the door. So there's never a place of time, it never has been, in which the grace and peace weren't there instantly. But you have to decide which way to go. One cost the beast, you, your life. But the fruit of it is peace and grace. The other has self-realization. But with self-realization, you can never have peace and grace. Everybody understand that simple thing? And not only so, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is an alive hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not a hope that we've imagined. It's an alive hope. That's why I hate dead hopes so much. I'm just giving these people hope.
The direction. Hope in the glory of God rather than hope in your success.
Right, and hope in the resurrection. Like we studied yesterday, all of the scriptures are about his inheritance, his glory, his calling. It's not about you. As long as you want it to be about you, hit the road, Jack. This isn't the place for you. If you're sick of you, then you might be able to hear. But I'm not interested in negotiating. Neither is God. It's black and white. It's so crystalline. It's so clear. And it's funny, the more that I experience this stupid pain, the clearer it is. It's never been more clear from the day that He chose to reveal His Son in me than right now. This way, the way that seems right onto man, right onto your mind, right onto all of your experience and options and hopes and desires and dreams. But it is a ridiculous, stupid way. And the other way, which is the abandonment of self, the death of self, is where the peace and grace and access and hope and the glory is. But if you've gone the way of the hope and grace and peace, then you will find a mystery. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? How could we possibly glory in tribulation? Because tribulation is the trying or testing of faith. Faith is as ordinary as dirt. Tested faith is the rarest thing in the universe. What causes you to quit the path and faint in your mind? Lean on your own arm of understanding. You've got a solution. That's the way of the beast, the way of the brute beast, the way of the stupid beast. But we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. Experience simply means tried or tested integrity. And experience, hope. Now finally we've gotten rid of this false hope, and we only have hope in the resurrection. Shut up, Harry. I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. And hope maketh not ashamed. The fruit of hope is never I've been dealing with somebody that's been in the religious world his whole life. And he's an informant. And so it's interesting. Every step of the way, he wants to protect himself. And that is so foreign to any way that I know how to think that it sounds like I'm. And so we talked for like 2 or 3 hours yesterday with regard to how you cannot protect yourself and expect there to be protection from God. You cannot protect yourself. And in any way, expect the glory of God. Everybody understand that? And this, I'm talking about the slightest little thing.
That's appropriate, though, that he's in the religious world and having to protect himself. That speaks volumes right there.
Well, he's slowly being delivered from the religious world. It's the Ronnie Dunn barbecue, done it right. You see, like, I was very happy just picking on Harry. And then you had to... He opened the door.
That's why I done it for my brother.
You did it to protect him. Well, I that's what I would have expected from you, Ronnie. And I'm
our fellowship has grown ever since we've entered into the mighty prayer of agreement.
What the hell is he talking about now?
Jim and Ronnie and I have prayer meetings during the week, and we stand in agreement as touching anything that there'll be a community service dishwasher when it's our turn to do dishes.
They really do.
Did anybody else know about this? All right.
Works even when we don't do it.
Carry on.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, mortal enemies is the word. It's enmity. It's the idea that one of you has to die. Mortal enemies. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more we shall be saved by his blood. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Much more we shall be saved by faith in him. No, it doesn't say that. Much more shall we be saved by whatever other add-on you want. No, much more shall we be saved by his life. But it's his, not his life out there. It's his life in you. That's an incredible scripture. If we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more shall we be saved by his life in us. A hope of glory. It's no longer about you in any way. The promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, one sperm, one being, which is Christ. And this is affecting the entire world system, and has. The Jews believe that the promises of God go to Isaac. The Muslims believe the promises of God go to Ishmael. The Christians believe that the promises of God go to them because they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. All of them are wrong. Paul is clear, and the scriptures are clear. The promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. That's why it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now we are saved by his life. But his life is so, it's the same humility. He will not occupy where you are. And the agency for the power of his life, for the efficacy of his life, is the Holy Spirit. Do you see this, the fullness of this? I mean, this is, we were reconciled by his death, but we're saved by his life. Not his life 2,000 years ago sitting somewhere, or not him sitting up somewhere else. His day at the cross, and the extended day, if you will, all the way through Pentecost, is that was the judgment day. That was the day of the Lord. It's why the scriptures are clear. If you're waiting for the day of the Lord, it's so as though you were leaning on a doorpost and a scorpion bit you. Or a snake bit you. I mean, it's a day of darkness if you're not in it now. Anybody understand perfectly? Oh man. You have someplace you have to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted you to, if you want to keep reading, looking at your watch.
I don't have a watch.
Who's were you looking at? That watch.
Yeah,
all right. All right. Much more being reconciled by his death, we shall be saved by his life. Anybody have any thoughts? Response? Everybody knew that already, right? You just... It's the way you live every day, right? Taking no thought for yourself because you're not saved by anything of you. You're saved only by his life. So therefore, the stupidity of taking thought for yourself is manifest. Everybody understands perfectly, right? Only, why can't you be nice? I can just hear the wheels turning. And Christ gave us a hint of this in John 14. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and soon shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And in that, at that day you shall know. Mixed know. You remember epignosis. It'll be part of you. It's not just knowing about, it's being. You shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Because I live, you shall live also.
I do have something kind of want to let this go. Regarding Pentecost, the seed of God is shed on all flesh, but the seed of God is shed in our hearts, I think is what it says. But I was thinking that Satan usually has a counterfeit, and the counterfeit is his seed is shed right here. And that's where this battle always...
It's the only place.
...moves the ground. I never thought about it in those terms before, but I can feel it. I know that that's where these seeds get planted. That's where they grow. And that's why it confirms these things we talked about, the teaching. If we don't come to the point of letting it be crucified here in Golgotha, then we will let those seeds grow and fruit.
Amen. It's no accident that Golgotha... The name in Hebrew, Golgotha, means the place of the skull. He was crucified at the place of the skull and has to be continually crucified at the place of the skull. We are, if you could believe the writings of Paul, we are to be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. Renewing means a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. be not conformed in any way to this world, but be you transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. How is that happening? Because you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, except the good thoughts. No. All thoughts. And that's the good thoughts are the 49 gates of impurity that we're going through now in the counting of the Omer.
That was the nature of his obedience. That's always been a funny sentence to me, the obedience of Christ, but I saw clearly the obedience of Christ was that was his response to these thoughts.
Well, his obedience was in him was far greater than the problem of obedience in us, because his obedience had manifested where he, because he had the power, he had all power, he could have done anything and everything with the blink of an eye. Our power is minuscule. And so his power to constantly empty himself in order that others may share in that glory is humility beyond humility. So that he never, ever, ever leaned on his own arm of understanding. Even any miracle he did was so that he could know that he had the power to do it. So that then, by emptying of it, it was his obedience. Oh no, that's not what that means. What it means is that we are going to do greater works than he did. He's blithering it. I watched television again last night. What? What?
Who did you watch last night?
You don't want... Yeah, was it very early this morning? I was looking at all the places, all these stations that have sold time, or all these networks that have sold time in off hours to religious broadcasters. Brother Gerard's
God.
He's the guy that all of the religious broadcasters are on. Brother Gerard's, what does it say, minister hour or something, or inspirational hour. But his hour is like 45 hours long. Anyway.
I saw something on TV last night. I don't watch Jay Leno, but he said, in his monologue, he said something about Bob Woodward's book made it clear that President Bush took us to war because he believes that's what God wants us to do. He said the problem is that's exactly what Osama bin Laden believes. I thought that was
okay.
Pretty
just,
good for a monologue.
Just remember, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son, but we are saved by his life in us. Amen? All right. Take a big guy.